But he comes in and he remodels the place. He throws out the trash. He cleans the place out. He renovates our lives completely. Literally, he starts over, rebuilding us from the inside out. He transforms us from the wretched creatures that we are to redeemed saints of God. In other words, yes, Lord, he makes us into new creatures to the glory of God.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT.
No worry.
Got the gospel
be all right.
Transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Just because. Stand to your feet. Open your Bibles, if you will. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for who you are. And God, we thank you for what you've done and you're doing and you shall do. But we just want to thank you for who you are. The great I am. Thank you, God, for blessing and keeping us. Now, as we turn our attention to your word, give us revelation and understanding. And God, reveal the principles that we may practice them and profit from them and give you all praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. We shall begin our reading. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. And it says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. When we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, how interesting it is because we're talking about sacrificial service for Christ. Sacrificial service for Christ. Say that along with me if you don't mind. Sacrificial service for Christ. Now, this is important because when we understand how this word works today, and though in the story it has its own characters, but of course the understanding of the story is to help us apply our sacrificial service to the life of Christ and for the life of Christ. And when we get down to the nuts and bolts of our text, it's going to help us to understand that when our hearts are right, when our minds are right, when our thoughts are right, when we desire to do the right thing, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've come from. What matters most is what you're doing and where you're going to. And I think the story beautifully illustrates that, because the Bible is clear in the text. And first thing I want us to notice about the woman in the text, three things. And when we look at this, it's going to help us to put the picture together. First thing I want you to notice about this woman in our text is her position. Her position. And stood at his feet behind him. That's what the text says. And stood at his feet. Listen. Behind him. Now, what's important about that is she stood behind him not to be seen, but to serve. Now, somebody who wants to be seen will not go behind the one they want to impress, but rather in front of them. And so we notice her position. She went behind him. Well, the second thing I want you to notice about it is her passion. Because the Bible says weeping, heartfelt gratitude, repentance, and humility was all wrapped up in that weeping. It's important because finally what she desired in her heart, finally the opportunity to get her life right, finally the change that she had been hoping and praying for had finally come. And the interesting thing about it is it came at an unusual time and in an unusual place. Now, one of the things you're going to note about the text is she wasn't an invited guest. Not like Jesus was. But there are some times in your life when you really want your blessing and when you really want what God has for you, that you won't sit around folk that don't want what you want. But when what you want is in the house, then you've got to press your way against odds and against people and against circumstances to get your blessing. And this is exactly what this woman, she was passionate about her blessing. Sometimes you get to the point where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometime you get to the point where you can't take another day of this. Sometime it gets to the point where you've had enough of this and enough is enough. And this is where that woman was. And we'll go back and revisit the text to help put it all back together. And then third thing about this woman, not only was it her passion, but let's look at her pleasure. Her pleasure was to wash, wipe, kiss, and anoint. Listen, the feet of Jesus, that was her pleasure. Let me say it again. Her pleasure was to wash, wipe, kiss, and anoint. Not the face. The place of honor. But the feet, the lowest place and the most dishonorable part on the body. The feet. And she washed, wiped, kissed, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Now, there are some things, again, that we want us to look at and observe, because Christ was eating at a Pharisee's house, and he was named Simon. Now, this is interesting because Simon is one of the nine Simons in Scripture, and he was known as Simon the Pharisee. Now, Jesus had previously been speaking to a mixed crowd, a crowd of Pharisees, scribes, Jews, Gentiles, etc. And he was ministering to them. He was talking to John's disciples, and he gave them a message to bring back to John. And he asked them the question, what did you come out in the wilderness for to see? And he gave them a series of questions, asking them to unfold what their real heart's desire was. And then it said that Jesus came eating and drinking with sinners, and they called him gluttonous. And John the Baptist didn't drink any wine, and they still had aught against him. And so Jesus throws out that wisdom is justified of all her children. And a Pharisee invites Jesus, bids him to come, meaning by a loud, open invitation. It wasn't done privately. That's how the woman heard where Jesus was going to be, because the Pharisee said, hey, Jesus, won't you come on to my house for dinner? Jesus said, all right. And so the woman heard the discourse between Jesus and the Pharisee and knew that he was going to be there. So knowing this, everything in this woman ready for a change, made sure that she got her game plan together and went to the Pharisee house as well. So now Jesus is there. Now, undoubtedly, the Pharisee did not think that Jesus would take him up on it, because he was really being funny. He was really trying to mock Jesus, because again, what Jesus had done previously stood against what the Pharisee, one of the most religious and hypocritical sects there was there to try and put Jesus down. And you'll see that in the text, because Jesus reveals that. But he went there because he was invited. Now, one of the good things I like about the Lord is he's not like you and me. If you invite him, he'll show up. He knew they didn't like him. He knew they didn't really want him there, but they invited him. And see, wherever Jesus goes, he has the tendency to change things. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. And so he went there with the purpose of changing something there, but giving them an opportunity to have a personal audience with him. I want you to look at the text, because when we look at this word and see it the way that it is, there are some things about it that I think will be helpful. The Bible says again, verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now, this word sinner here literally means that she was a notable, notorious sinner, known for specific sins. And I mean, I don't have to get too graphic, but I'll just tell you, she was a lady of the night. Yeah, she was a streetwalker. Yeah. So listen, so here it says, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, here this woman was, she knew Jesus had been invited. When she knew he was finally there, she went and got her most prized possession, which was ointment, put in an alabaster box. An alabaster box was a material of the highest kind. It was noted for being able to preserve ointments the best. It was no cheap material. It was a material that, again, best when sealed, kept the ointment the freshest and allowed it to age and become better later than it was when it was first put in there. And so she kept this for her select clientele. See, because one of the attractants for a lady of the night was a smell good perfume. Y'all gonna pray with me a little while here. It was the scent that would attract a man. That's why manufacturers today who's aware of the different attractants in men and women, there are things they put in men's cologne that are attractive and attractants to women. And when they put that in that appeals to the women's noses, they'd be like, ooh. And most women like a good smelling man. Y'all say, no, that ain't the truth, you won't. Now come on, talk to me. You cannot even know the man if the cologne smells good. You be like, ooh, that smells good. Then if some of you are bold enough, oh, sir, I don't mean, I'm just, but what's the name of that? I won't get my husband, sir. They want you to know it ain't you, boo, it's the cologne. And vice versa with women. There are attractants that are placed in that scent that draw men. And so these ointments were made up with that purpose in mind. You can tell the name of certain perfumes and so forth and so on by the scent. But not all of you may be aware of what's put in the scent as an attractant. You just know that smell when you smell it. And listen, it has a slight variance depending on who wears it, because of the chemical reaction in the perfume, etc. Well, it is known scientifically that there are some ointments that work better when you get excited. They don't smell the same in the box as they do on you. I'm trying to help educate you now. And so this woman had this alabaster box filled with expensive ointments to do business with the upper echelon. Now look at what the Bible says. Verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him. What was she doing? Weeping. And began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with her hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. At what point would you have stopped your sacrifice? Would it even have started with you being behind him, not trying to be seen? Now listen to this. She wanted something from Jesus. Let's be clear about this. But what she wanted from Jesus was that she didn't want from any other man. That no other man could provide for her, that Jesus could. She wanted salvation. She wanted to be changed. She wanted to be different. And so her approach to Jesus was different from her approach to any other man. She came behind him, not to be seen, but to serve him. Listen, before she ever asked him for anything, she gave him something first. Lord, y'all ain't hearing me. I say before she ever asked him for anything, she gave him something first. Isn't it just because when you begin to understand this and see how this operates, and I want to just take a few moments because we're talking about the sacrifice of service to Christ, and it's so important. First, she washed his feet. And the Pharisees had failed to wash Christ's feet. And as it was the custom, when you invite guests to your home, you would take a wash pan because they lived in a sandy, gritty place, and they wore sandals and shoes of that sort. And their feet would always, even with the sandals on, get dusty as they walked the dusty roads. And so when they got ready to be, or when they were invited to be guests at home and they got ready to eat, the guests, the host rather, would take the guests and wipe their feet and wash their feet rather, and then wipe their feet and prepare them as an honorable guest. Meaning you were invited to be here. And that was one of the shows or signs that you were an invited guest. Well, they didn't show Jesus that honor, which really said they didn't honor him as a guest. Matter of fact, they were surprised that he showed up. Just to show you that they weren't sincere, they didn't even give him the traditional honor as an honored guest of washing his feet. But listen to this. This sinner woman, this prostitute who no longer wanted to be a prostitute, came in the house, and when she saw Jesus positioned to have dinner and noticed his feet were still dusty. Notice what the word says. She came weeping. Now, can I say to you, she must have had a whole lot of tears. Waterfall. Just constantly dripping in order to produce enough water to wash Jesus' feet. She was weeping because her heart was hurting and happy. And I tell you, that'll produce a waterfall when your heart is hurting. And it was hurting because she no longer wanted the lifestyle of her years past. She no longer wanted to do what she had been doing, be who she had been. She wanted a change in her life. She wanted better in her life. She had had enough of this stuff. And no doubt she was in a place where she had some of the men there and knew they were nothing but hypocrites. And so she is crying, but she's also happy because she was saying, this is the day. A change is coming to my life. Oh, happy day. I wish I had a helper in the house. So she was hurting on the one hand, happy on the other hand, and the tears are falling down her face and on to the feet of Jesus. And then she takes her hair. Not her weave. I didn't mean to say that. I don't know if they were that advanced back then, but because the Bible talks about that, and I'll get on over to that a little bit later about it. A woman's hair is her glory. That's why I just want to just throw this out parenthetically. It don't make sense for you women to keep cutting your glory, chopping your glory, and then go buy a wig or a weave and then try and put it down your back. That don't make no sense. Your hands, I don't care if you get mad. I'm trying to help you here. The Bible says a woman's hair is her glory. That's why you haters hate when a woman got some real long hair. She know how to work it too, everything she do. Make me sick. Look at her. What? Hell. Whoop. Whoop. I wish she'd swing her hair one more time. I'm gonna hate on her. Cause it's real and it's long. This woman took her hair and wiped the feet of Jesus. Listen, listen. She washed it, and she took that long hair, and she. Now I know that must have felt good to Jesus' feet. Real hair. Mm. And the Bible says she wiped his feet. And she used, listen at this, to give you a better sense of this. She used her glory, her hair, to bring him glory. Not old dirty towel, not even a clean washcloth, but she took her glory, that God covered her head with, and she used her glory to wipe his feet. Listen at this. It's important to understand how she starts with her best in her. For the worst that was obvious about her. She is a woman who is known for being a woman of no good reputation. But there is good on the inside of her that comes out of her in the presence of Jesus. And she, with her tears and her hair, her glory, she starts with herself. She starts with what's in her heart before she ever gives him what's in her hand. See, what I'm trying to tell you is real sacrificial service starts in the heart. It's what's real here in the heart. It's what's real underneath the skin. It's what's real where nobody else is and nobody else knows your thoughts and what you're feeling, etc. It's where the realness of you lives. And that's where she started, giving Jesus her best, sacrificing first from her heart, herself. And as she began to wipe his feet, listen at what progresses next. She kisses his feet. Yeah. Somebody be like, now you know, preacher, I was all right with the washing. And you know, I could see wiping my hair, you know, on his feet and drying his feet. But not kissing his feet. You got some folk who won't touch your feet. Less known, kissing your feet. Listen at this. And so, after she washes it and wipes it, she commences to kiss it. Now here's what I want you to know.